The show is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. And the performances of import for today's program are those by the Illinois Symphony Orchestra happening in Bloomington and Springfield this weekend. Bloomington on Friday night at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts, and Springfield on Saturday night at Sangamon Auditorium. Both of those concerts start at 8 o'clock. The guest conductor for the concert is Rei Hotoda, and that's Rei as spelled R-E-I. She is, in fact, a woman, in spite of how it sounds. Looks different, of course. And she's also one of the music director candidates. She'll be my guest the first portion of the show. And then later, I'll be talking with members of the New Air Bluegrass Band, who are among four bands participating in the second annual Bluegrass Festival at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana this Saturday. That starts at 6:30. And so that's coming up later on Live and Local. Stay tuned. We heard some music by Joaquin Rodrigo from his Concierto Serenata, which is for harp and orchestra. Nancy Allen, the harpist in this recording with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. We heard a bit of the first movement. And that piece is among three that is on the program this weekend with the Illinois Symphony Orchestra. The harpist will be Bridget Kibbe. And more to the point for our conversation here on Live and Local, the guest conductor is Rei Hotoda, and she is one of the candidates to be the music director of the orchestra. That's happening all this year, where all the candidates are guest conducting not once but twice, once with the symphony and once with the chamber orchestra. So this is her big orchestra debut with the Illinois Symphony anyway, and she's with me on the phone from Springfield right now. Thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
So your path to getting here has been studded with all kinds of wonderful debuts throughout the country, throughout Canada, and currently you're assistant conductor with the Dallas Symphony Orchestra. What does that mean specifically for your role with that orchestra? What is your role there?
Well, this is my third season with the Dallas Symphony, and basically I am an intern. you think of medical interns, and it's a wonderful way for a conductor to gain experience working closely with a music director. And the Dallas Symphony Orchestra's music director's name is Jaap van Sweden. He's from the Netherlands, and a fabulous, fabulous conductor. He was just with the Chicago Symphony this past November and December, guest conducting all over the world. He is my mentor right now. And so I am his understudy, basically. An assistant is an understudy who is ready to fill in if the guest conductor or my music director gets ill or trips and falls on the podium or something happens to him. I fill in at the very last minute so that they have a backup person ready to conduct the concerts. But I also, as an assistant, conduct a lot of the youth and education concerts and the outreach concerts in Dallas, in the Dallas area. So it's a wonderful opportunity for a conductor to have an assistantship with a major orchestra like that. And their weeks are 52-week seasons, so it's quite a large organization and a full season of music.
I noticed that you've had some other assistant conductorships with the Winnipeg Symphony in Manitoba and also with the Cabrillo Festival of Contemporary Music. The Winnipeg also was a three or four-year engagement.
Yes, it was a three-year engagement, and that was my first job right out of conducting school. And my first audition, too, and I won that, so I was thrilled.
That's pretty good.
Yes, I know. You know, for conductors, it's so hard. These jobs come so few and far in between, and so I feel very fortunate so far with the luck that I've had and the work that I've put into it, also. But Winnipeg was a 36-week season, and it's it was again one of the same situation. But fortunately for me, the first couple of years, the music director was finishing another position in the States, and so he had me conduct many, many different kinds of concerts, from musically speaking concerts. Those are the kind that, you know, you talk about a symphony and then you perform it on the second half. Then we had, I had programs again with family and youth and education concerts, but I also did a Baroque festival out in Winnipeg and did a three-day festival conducting and playing from the harpsichord, which was really fun. Being a pianist and having a piano background, that was really a totally different approach to conducting. But again, I was able to do things like that. So I love doing chamber music.
You know, since you mentioned it, I wanted to ask you anyway about the value of being a pianist to a conductor. I one of my great frustrations as a conductor is not really being a pianist, and I've always thought it was a serious shortcoming that, given some of the things I would have liked to have done. And I wonder how valuable you found it to be.
Well, I find it extremely helpful for me to learn repertoire very quickly. And, you know, sometimes I can sit down and realize a score. And I mean, it took me a while, I have to say. I was a performance major. I got my doctorate in piano performance at the University of Southern California in Los Angeles. And not having an orchestral background and going into orchestral conducting was learning a new instrument for me. And that was an uphill battle for me to just get to know the repertoire, but at the same time, being a pianist has really helped me learn exponentially faster, I think, than a lot of other people. I don't know. That's just the way I study and work. So I think it is helpful. But I know a lot of conductors who are proficient on the piano, or a lot of conductors who aren't, have a major instrument and who are fabulous conductors. So I think it depends on the person and how they work.
You got your doctorate in piano then before you went into conducting at all?
Correct.
What possessed you to do it?
That's interesting. I was given a minor doing a doctorate out in California, and they said, well, you can do musicology or you can do conducting. And I thought, well, the last thing I want to do is study more. So I thought, you know, I want to really perform. And so I picked conducting, and I got the conducting bug. Well, little did I know that I'd be studying more than I would be as a musicologist. I spend many, many hours now just poring over score after score. And again, being an assistant conductor, you go through programs every week and different symphonies every week, and it's just a large amount of studying that a conductor must do to prepare. So that's how I got the conducting bug. I just felt, you know, I often tell people I had 88 keys, you know, to work with, and I felt like I needed a bigger instrument. And so, you know, 88 people on stage, yes, I think that will suffice.
But really, the irony is you got into it out of sheer laziness, it sounds like.
Exactly.
And little did you know.
But little did I know how much I would love the whole aspect of conducting and the whole process of being a conductor and learning how to conduct this great repertoire. And I just felt a huge amount of passion for it right away, and I thought, wow, this is what I'd like to do.
Going back to the assistant conductor thing, since you've mentioned all the scores one has to study, does it ever get frustrating that you'll study these scores, spend all this time on them, and in all likelihood never get to conduct them, at least
exactly.
Not
exactly. And at first it was very much like that for me, but now as I've progressed now I'm in my sixth year as an assistant, I feel that every time I'm looking at a score, I'm learning it. And when I go back to it and when I do get a chance to conduct it, I've already gained all that experience and knowledge already. And with conducting, it's one of these things where I don't have 88 players to practice every day for 8 hours like I would on a piano. And the whole concept of conducting is, you know, one of these things where you can't practice unless you're in front of the orchestra all the time. And so I feel that studying and preparing these scores after being an assistant for so many years is really helped me learn faster and really gain more from each time I look at the Beethoven Fourth Symphony or, you know, a major Mahler symphony. And I just think that each time, you know, I'm learning something that I can pull from later when I actually do conduct it.
And your program with the Illinois Symphony, I should remind listeners that we're talking with Ray Hotoda, who is the guest conductor this week for the concerts by the Illinois Symphony Orchestra in Bloomington on Friday and in Springfield on Saturday. The way these concerts have worked is that each of the guest conductors is essentially handed the soloist and the solo piece, and then you program the rest of the music around it. The other two pieces that are on the program, we heard a little bit of the Rodrigo Concierto Serenata, are Christopher Rouse's Rapture and Rimsky-Korsakov's Scheherazade. Are these pieces that you had studied and or conducted before?
I have studied the Scheherazade, and I've conducted parts of it. The Rouse I have never studied or conducted, so this is a new piece for me as well. But, you know, in my field, in my experience as an assistant, everything is new. No matter, you know, how many times I've conducted it, I feel that a conductor is really at its peak, at his or her peak, after, you know, they've done 20, 30 years of conducting the same piece. I really feel that, you know, it's one of these process positions where I think you just get better as you keep doing it over and over again. And that's what I love about conducting. It's like it's infinite. Your learning process is infinite. Your personality changes. Your way of looking at life changes. And that approach instantly reflects in the music, no matter how many times you've done it. And so, I mean, a lot of conductors are, you know, skeptical, and they say, well, I've never done that piece, so I'm not going to conduct it. Well, then you're never going to conduct anything,
yeah,
you know?
Right.
Everything's for the first time at some point in your life. And so I always approach it with, you know, okay, I'm just going to jump off the cliff and see how it goes and put my stamp on it right now. And then maybe in 5 years, I'll look at the Rimsky-Korsakov Scheherazade again, and I'll put another stamp on it because I look at it and have you know, my life is different, my approach is different, my conducting is different, and it'll feel new again. And that's what's just so exciting about conducting, I think.
What made you choose Christopher Rouse's Rapture?
Well, my philosophy with programming is that I'd like to do something contemporary, one piece on the program, just to mix things up a little bit. You know, there's the three food groups that we get when we go to a symphony concert. We have the overture, we have the concerto, and then we have in the second half a major symphony or a big piece. And I like to mix that up a little bit and say, well, why don't we do something new? Because at some point Beethoven's Fifth Symphony was new and helped promote. I love to promote composers of our time, and I think that it's really important to keep that revitalized, to keep that going. And how else to do that than to have performances of their music? And otherwise it's just going to be archived and okay, we had the premiere and let's bookshelf that, and okay, we've done our quota, you know. I really feel passionate about the music that I pick, and I think that the contemporary pieces that the Rapture that I chose is something that is very accessible and that people can relate to. And so going along the theme of this kind of exotic Rodrigo concerto, you know, because I find that piece to be very sensual and very beautiful, and of course the harp being an exotic type of soloistic instrument, I thought, well, wouldn't it be nice to do something contemporary that kind of goes along that theme? And Rapture really pulled me in, and I thought, well, that would be a really fun piece to learn and to conduct and have the players get excited about too, which I'm finding that is happening, and so that's why I programmed that.
And hopefully bring the audience along with everybody.
Exactly.
Here's a little bit of Christopher Rouse's Rapture in a performance by the Stockholm Philharmonic, conducted by Alan Gilbert, who's the music director of the New York Philharmonic. Rapture will be on the program with the Illinois Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Ray Hotota, this weekend in Bloomington and Springfield. And you're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. That was some music from Christopher Rouse's Rapture. We actually heard a bit of the beginning, towards the beginning, and then at the end, the piece was played here by the Stockholm Philharmonic, conducted by Alan Gilbert. It'll be played by the Illinois Symphony Orchestra under the baton of Ray Hotota this weekend, Friday night in Bloomington at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts, Saturday night in Springfield at Sangamon Auditorium on the University of Illinois at Springfield campus, both those concerts starting at 8 o'clock. And again, kind of coming, well, no, not coming back to the assistant conductor theme, Ray, but talking about the guest conducting a little bit, which, of course, you're doing here, although you're doing it here with a little different twist.
Yeah.
You have quite a long list of orchestras you've guest conducted either once, twice, or three times. And I guess that has one sort of pressure. And then now you're guest conducting with the idea of getting a job out of it. And maybe you've done some of the others that way. I don't know.
Actually, I'm in the running for three other orchestra music director positions right now. So this is my fourth audition this year.
Wow.
Guest conducting and working with the orchestra and meeting the organization and the communities.
So you're getting used to this routine.
I am, actually. It's a really nice feeling to be, you know, in this position, I have to say.
What happens if you get them all?
Oh, I'm sure I won't. But
you must have fantasized about it.
You know, it's always nice to fantasize. No, I would pick which community I think an orchestra that I feel most comfortable with.
And so the process, how are the pressures different from when you've just been asked to guest conduct, so you just go do the thing and you're not a candidate for a job,
sure,
versus when you are a candidate for the job?
It's completely different. The only thing that's not different is how I approach the orchestra and the concert. So that put aside, the music director search and the whole process with that is a lot more intense. I've had interviews, radio, television, newspaper interviews, and also talking with the press a lot about how I would make an impact in the community. And whereas, you know, if I'm just guest conducting, all I have to do is talk about myself and the program. So it's a lot more in-depth, and getting to know the people, going to Rotary meetings, going to meet the organization and the board, and many other functions where I really have to sell myself, and I don't mind doing that, and because I feel that, you know, a part of being a music director is being the face of the orchestra, and so they need to know, well, what kind of faces are we, you know, are we putting ourselves into, and as an organization. And so it's a matter of more you know, getting to know people and the whole relationship aspect of it, which is, you know, like a first date. It's really hard and awkward sometimes, but, you know, it's just a lot more of this different kind of approach.
Although, of course, if you're just showing up to conduct, you're still trying to sell yourself because you hope they'll ask you again.
Exactly. But oftentimes that's more in the performance and the and you know, how the musicians feel about you. And but yes, you're right. It is a matter of selling yourself.
And ultimately selling yourself through the music is the ideal, I guess.
Exactly.
Ray Hotoda is guest conducting the Illinois Symphony Orchestra this week and is a candidate to be the next music director. And I wish you the very best of luck in the process.
Thank you so much.
Not only in this one, but also the other orchestras. We're going to go out with some of the music that will end the concerts with the Illinois Symphony, which is Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov's Scheherazade, a symphonic suite after 1001 Nights. And here is some of the final movement. This is a performance by the Concertgebouw Orchestra of Amsterdam, conducted by Kirill Kondrashin. That's a portion of the final movement of Rimsky-Korsakov's Scheherazade, a symphonic suite after 1001 Nights. This movement began with the festival at Baghdad, moves on to the sea and beyond. The Concertgebouw Orchestra of Amsterdam was conducted by Kirill Kondrashin in this performance, and you can hear the Illinois Symphony Orchestra play it in concerts this Friday and Saturday, Friday at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts and Saturday at Sangamon Auditorium at the University of Illinois at Springfield. Both concerts start at 8 o'clock, and they'll be conducted by my guest on this first portion of the show, who was Ray Hotoda, who is one of the music director candidates. And she is the last of the candidates. We've been talking with all five of them during the course of this season. There are still concerts to come, and some of them are coming back, the ones we've talked to already, but we'll be talking with some of the soloists at these later concerts. Our broadcast today on Live and Local is made possible by the Illinois Symphony Orchestra in Ecstatic and Exotic with harpist Bridget Kibbe in Rodrigo's Concierto de Serenata and Scheherazade with guest conductor Ray Hotoda. And I guess I don't really need to say this because I just told all of it to you, except the details are available at ilsymphony.org. We also have support from 10,000 Villages in downtown Champaign for over 25 years. 10,000 Villages has provided income to artisans in more than 30 developing countries by marketing their handicrafts and telling their stories in North America. Another event that's going on Saturday night in Urbana is the second annual Bluegrass Festival at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center, which is in downtown Urbana. There are four bands going to be on the show starting at 6:30, Grassroots Revival, and then at 7:15, the King Family Band, at 915 Black Ridge Road, and in between there at 815, the New Air Bluegrass Band. And we have three of their members joining us on this portion of Live and Local. Here's a tune from their most recent album, which is called If You Only Knew, and the song called Hallelujah, I'm Ready.
Talking love.
Hallelujah.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm ready to go.
In the darkness of night, a star was in sight on a highway that leads down below. Well, Jesus came in and saved my soul from sin. Hallelujah. I'm ready to go. Hallelujah.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Hallelujah.
I can hear the voices sing, talking love.
There's a wonderful Savior to know. Well, I fell on my knees and He answered my pleas. Hallelujah, I'm ready to go. Hallelujah,
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Hallelujah,
I can hear the voices sing soft and low.
Hallelujah,
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Hallelujah,
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 I'm ready to go.
Hallelujah.
I'm ready.
I can hear the voices sing soft and low.
Hallelujah.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm ready to go.
Hallelujah.
I'm ready to go.
Hallelujah, I'm Ready. It's called from the CD called If You Only Knew by New Air Bluegrass. That's spelled N-E-W-H-E-I-R. They're going to be at the second annual Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center Bluegrass Festival this Saturday. And I should, I suppose, have mentioned that technically the thing starts at 4:30 with jamming space available and goes up until 11 o'clock, but the concert part starts at 6:30 with those four bands. They'll be the fourth band on the stage, and we have three of their members with us. Lee Schofield does lead and harmony vocals, also plays guitar from Monticello, and two brothers, Nathan Gates and Caleb Gates. Nathan is banjo, guitar, lead and harmony vocals. Caleb is the youngest member of the group, dobro, lead and bass vocals. And they're all with us live here on Live and Local. Thanks very much for joining us. Well,
thanks for having us. Yeah.
So, Lee, you're the guy that was my initial contact. You're from Monticello. Is the rest of the group also from there? What's your connection to everybody?
Well, Nathan and Caleb both come from Bloomington, Illinois, and his wife, Charity, Nathan's wife, Charity, is also from Bloomington. Our bass player is from Mexico, Missouri.
Mexico, Missouri?
Yes, sir.
I didn't know there was such a place.
Yeah, we like to joke with the audience about our bass player being from Mexico.
Yeah, that's good. That'd be a nice mix-up. And Nathan, I have to tell you, you don't look old enough to have a wife. You've probably heard that many times before.
No, I'm 27 years old. I'll be 28 here in another month. But to have a wife and two little girls, one's three
wow.
and one's just turned 4 years old, and one just turned 1 year old.
You better get that straight. They'll remind you if
yes.
you're hearing this later. Daddy, I'm not. Yeah, so how long's the band been together?
Band's been together this March. It'll be 3 years. And we started, our first performance was up in Schaumburg. Now is the festival in Schaumburg. It used to be in Naperville, but some different changes happened and they moved over to Schaumburg. But there was a festival up there. They had an open mic opportunity up there. So we went and performed about three songs. And then a guy approached me afterwards and said, do you guys, you know, play dates and would like to go other places and sing? And we said, yeah, that'd be awesome. So kind of from that point on, then it was kind of word of mouth, people hearing us, and the bookings kind of came in. And we, at that point, we decided we were toying with several different names, and some guy asked me, he's like, okay, we want to book you for a show next year, and we'd like to know what to call you. And I said, well, we're throwing a couple names around, but I think we'll go with New Air. And he's like, that's different. I like it.
Yeah, what does it mean?
Well, New Air is like another heir, or like an heir to a family. You know, you pass down the generational things. And so I was born and raised in a musical family. We traveled around the country doing bluegrass gospel music as well. And so it was kind of another heir. It was a new heir to start into the music. So it was my wife and myself and then the kids. And so that's kind of where it launched off and became New Air Bluegrass.
So what have you left for your heirs to call their band?
Well,
the even newer heir?
Yeah. They'll have to come up, be a little creative and come up with something at that point. But, you know, hopefully here in a couple of years, if not, my little one, Grace, 4 years old, she's working on the guitar, messing around with the guitar, and the screeches on the fiddle a little bit. She got a little fiddle, but it doesn't sound good enough to be on stage.
She's not going to fiddle just yet. Well, you never know. I mean, because I've seen some bluegrass bands. There seems to be a lot of family bluegrass bands, and some of the youngest players are pretty young indeed.
Oh, yes.
We actually had a band here that was not a bluegrass band. It was more of a old-time dance band, and they had a bass player who was 13, which is granted a lot older than you're talking about so far, but he seemed to have got his start pretty early, and his little sister was in there, and I don't know how old she was, but she didn't look like she was more than something in the single digits, and she was dancing, and I could see her sort of mouthing to her mom, who was playing bass, "Can I play guitar?" She said, no.
Well, we still do that with Caleb.
Caleb, how old are you?
18.
You're 18. Mm-hmm. And you've been in the band as the youngest member for how long?
About a year now. About a year.
Did you feel this was inevitable? Something you were really longing to do? Or did they say, come on, it's about time you got up here?
It felt... He was kind of, my brother was kind of chasing me around for probably a year or so before that. I actually didn't pick up any stringed instrument, until maybe a year and a half before. I ended up joining last year in January. So, I mean, I've been with the group about a year, but he's been hounding me for about 2 years. But I felt it was probably inevitable because, like he mentioned before, we travel with the family group doing bluegrass and Southern gospel, but that was kind of dwindling off a bit, and I felt I couldn't use my newfound abilities with a bluegrass instrument if, you know, we're not playing anywhere as a family, so might as well jump on board somewhere.
So what was the part that's, I think I missed something here, what's the part that's dwindling off? Because it seems like you're picking
well,
up. Well,
as a family group, growing up in a family group, we played music.
The larger family.
Yes, the larger family.
This band, okay.
The family prior. It kind of lost some, slowed down a little bit, dad getting a little bit older and things like that, and the rest of my sisters having different jobs and things. So it kind of limited things of that nature. And of what Caleb forgot to tell you is, if it wasn't for the band, then he wouldn't have got kind of launched in on the dobro, because he went with us. We went down to Silver Dollar City in Branson, Missouri, and did a competition down there. And we stopped in a music store on the way back about 2 years ago, and he got to looking at the dobro. And, of course, we have some friends that also play dobro about his age. And he picked it up and thought, I'd like to try this. So he started picking that. So if I didn't hound him and keep on him to, you know, go with us and hang out with us, and he would have never had that opportunity to stop by that music store and get that dobro. So, and then the bass voice has just been something that's come out of nowhere, really. He's
well, you never know what voice you're going to have until you have it.
Yep. So it's really a great addition to the group to have him part of the group.
So we played from your most recent CD. You brought along one that was this the one just before it?
Yes.
You have several others, or are these the two that are out so far?
We have two CDs available right now. We also have an instrumental CD, which I did not bring with us this time. Oh, we do have a Christmas CD. It's got a few Christmas songs on there. But The CD prior to If You Only Knew is just self-titled New Era Bluegrass, and that was nominated for Spigma Album of the Year out of association out of Missouri that reaches over 10,000 members nationwide.
Society for the Preservation of Bluegrass Music of America.
Yes.
I had to look this up.
That is correct. So we were nominated 2010 Album of the Year on that one, and one of our fan voted number one songs was Proud of the Flag on there. And
which is what we're going to hear right now.
Yes.
It's New Era Bluegrass. They're going to be at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center, speaking of mouthfuls, second annual Bluegrass Festival on Saturday, which starts at 6:30 with the bands, 4:30 for open jamming, and continues. You can keep jamming until 11 o'clock as before and after you listen to the various guest bands. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. New Air Bluegrass from their self-titled CD and the tune called Proud of the Flag. And they're going to be at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center Saturday for the second annual Bluegrass Festival there, along with three other bands, Grassroots Revival, the King Family Band. The King Family actually played live for us last year in advance of the first festival. Whether they knew it was going to be annual at that point or not, I mean, you can always call it a first annual, and it may or may not happen. Well, here it's happening, second annual. Also, a band called Black Ridge Road are going to be at that festival, and you can get more information by going to their website, which is ucimc.org, or you can phone area 217-493-4654. That'll actually get you Ed Hawks, who's involved with various old-time groups in town. And for more information on New Air Bluegrass, you can go to just newairbluegrass.org or com.
Org. Or com, either one.
Both of them.
They always, yeah, inevitably show up. New Air, spelled N-E-W-H-E-I-R. And we have with us Nathan and Caleb Gates of the family part of the band. Lee Schofield is, how did they find you,
Lee? The guitar player that played with them previously was a friend of mine, and I was looking for a studio to record a CD.
And he wasn't a family member.
No, no. And so he set me up with Nathan to do some studio work, and I went and talked to him. And about a week later, Nathan called me and said, "Have you ever played any bluegrass?" I said, "Well, a little bit. Why?"
What were you playing up to that point?
Country music, mostly. Country and Christian music. I played a lot in church and stuff like that. Played in a band out in California, but that was years before. So the previous guitar player decided that he wanted to go do something else. He wanted to play some music elsewhere, and they needed somebody to go play for the the Bluegrass Music Awards. Mm-hmm. And so he said, can you practice up some bluegrass and be ready to play on stage in 3 weeks?
How difficult
no
was
pressure.
That?
No pressure. It was the awards show. The Bluegrass Music Awards in Jefferson City last year. And
that was the same award show for the nomination of the album of the year. So it was kind of a impromptu. We practiced a couple times together and then gave him some CDs to listen to. Said,
"Here, you're on your own."
But it worked out pretty good, and it's been a great having Lee as part of the band, and he really adds a lot to the stage. And
Your other non-family member, Ken Roberts, who has the nickname Thumper.
Yeah.
Why would that be?
The way he plays the upright bass fiddle, he just kind of thumps on it, slaps it around. He does a spin around. He was, 7-time bass player?
Yeah, bass player of the year here in Illinois.
Here in Illinois for some, I don't even know what the name of it is, Illinois.
IRTCA, I'm not sure
about
that.
Another one of these non-catchy acronyms.
Right.
Bass player of the year for Illinois. That's
capacity or another.
Yes, and so he's a really great addition to the band as well because, I mean, he's, you know, for a time when the band first started, my sister played with us, and of course, in the family harmony was still there, and she played the upright bass and sang, and her husband had worked for Caterpillar, and they had moved out to North Carolina with a new plant out there, and so she had to, you know, obviously go with him, and so we had to find a new bass player. Couldn't find anybody. Found a lady out of Indiana to fill in for a short time, and then come across this guy, and he said, "Hey, I'm really looking to be part of a gospel bluegrass band. Would you be interested in having me?" And I said, "All right, well, let's give it a whirl." Sent him a couple songs, and I said, "Hey, now we really need a bass player because we lost one. Can you be up here in July?" And this was like a week before, in the last week of June, and we needed him first week in July. He came up, showed up 2 hours before a show, ran through a bunch of music on the bus, got up on stage, and you'd think he'd played with us the whole time. Just phenomenal guy.
Right up.
It always amazes me when people can do that, and it happens an amazing number of times, it seems to me. We're somewhat similar stories. Either somebody just comes in and is just filling in for somebody for one reason or another. We are about to have a scoop.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes.
You mentioned the CDs you already have, and you've had one in the works that is just about ready, and you brought along some brand new tracks that nobody else has heard, which is kind of cool. Why don't you talk about that?
We have a single from our My Homeland Illinois tour, which kicks off this Saturday at the Independent Media Center. This was a song that was written by, I've come from a family of 5 sisters and 1 brother. And so 3 of those sisters, about 12 years ago, wrote a song. You've heard songs about Tennessee and Georgia and Colorado, but we've never heard a song about Illinois. So they got together one afternoon and started writing down some words to a song about being from Illinois, being born and raised here in Illinois. You know, some people may say, "Oh, you know, Illinois, I don't care much for Illinois. I'm just here because of this or that," you know. But being born and raised in Illinois, or growing up in Illinois, there's just always those fond memories of what you do, you know, out on the farm or even growing up in a small town. And so we had the opportunity just recently, it kind of sat dormant for about 12 years. And then I said, of course, I was a little brother at the time. I, you know, didn't know all this stuff. And I said, well, let's put this down. Let's record this. Let's get this out there. And I think people will really appreciate it and really relate to it. And so now here it is. And it kind of starts our tour, my homeland, Illinois tour.
Now, this CD is so new, even I haven't heard it.
Wow, here we go.
So we recorded it, but I didn't have a chance to hear the finished product. So
that's the name of the song, My Homeland, Illinois.
The name of the song is Illinois, just Illinois.
And that'll be the name of the album, is My Homeland.
Yes, and those are available. Actually, the shipment was coming in this afternoon. It's probably getting there right now as we speak. But those are available on our website now. And it's a single release. It's got two songs on there. It's Illinois and Cripple Creek. Many people are familiar with that, and those are available on our website, and you can pick that up as well as any of the other product we have.
And you'll have it on Saturday?
Yes, we will have it on Saturday.
The Bluegrass Festival. Here's New Air Bluegrass. It's a premiere right here on Live and Local. You heard it here first, folks, on FM 90.9.
Soybean fields,
song is called Illinois, and it was its broadcast debut here on Live and Local, written and performed by New Air Bluegrass. It's currently just part of a two-song CD, but it'll be eventually on the new album by New Air Bluegrass called,
My Homeland, Illinois.
My Homeland, Illinois, and they're on their My Homeland, Illinois tour, which will include a performance on the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center's second annual Bluegrass Festival on Saturday. Grassroots Revival opens at 6:30, the King Family Band at 7:15, New Air at 8:15, and Black Ridge Road at 9:15. That's in downtown Urbana, and I've been pleased to have Nathan Gates, Caleb Gates, and Lee Schofield on this portion of Live and Local. And you're listening to 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. Support for WYL comes in part from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wine tastings on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday's tasting features many new store arrivals, followed by live music from 7 to 9 p.m. by Lisa Kahn.